I enjoy this life. Do you? I'm being very polite. Yes, okay. You probably do. I know things can go wrong. I'm well aware of that. But basically, I enjoy this life. We've got family and friends. We've got beautiful countryside, some of the best around this building. That's some of the best in the country. We can see through the windows. Then there's art and drama, and there's music, and there's good humour. And I'm told, although I find it very difficult to believe, that some people enjoy sport. But anyway, there are good things about this life. I'm joking about sport, it's just we aren't a very sporty family, I have to admit. And so there are many things about this life that are really enjoyable. But of course, we're like the news media, aren't we? We focus on the bad things. We focus on the things that go wrong. We focus on what people do wrong. And yes, I'm afraid there's a lot of that. And some of it's very, very serious. Of course it is. I wouldn't deny it for one moment. But there's so much that's good. So much that's enjoyable. So much that's beautiful, moving, inspiring, and so on. But we need a longer perspective than that. And if in our first reading from 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Now I've got three GPs for you this afternoon in my headings, and the first one is a great promise. So a great promise, first of all. I have a relative who probably doesn't believe in God, and certainly doesn't practice as a Christian, and therefore has no hope beyond this life. And I'm incredibly sad about that. Has no hope, for example, of, to put it on a slightly low level in a way, because we see even more important things than this, of seeing relatives who've died as Christians and have gone on to be with the Lord. I find that incredibly sad. I don't condemn anyone for doing that. Yes, I could argue people should find out about the Christian faith. Today we're in a world of information, aren't we? I mean, I've got my phone in my pocket. I get it out and answer any question you like just by pressing a few buttons. Of course. So, yes, they could be criticised for not bothering to find out about the Christian faith, but that's not the way I think. The way I think is I'm incredibly sad that there are people that don't have this longer perspective. And so, as Paul puts it, referring to Jesus, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. And if it doesn't sound condescending, I have to say these people are to be pitied. I hope that doesn't sound condescending. I don't mean it that way. But my heart goes out to them, as I've often said to you, that they don't have this longer perspective. It's a sort of spiritual short-sightedness. We're meant to look forward to eternal life. We're meant to look forward to heaven. Now, don't get too excited, but we're meant to look forward to it. And that's great. Doesn't mean we have to be morbid. I always joke about, you know, my funeral. I refer to All Things Bright and Beautiful as the hymn I want. The reason is that Patricia doesn't like playing it. I'm being serious about this, that we're meant to look forward to eternal life, not just a funeral. We're meant to look forward to eternal life. Because that's why Jesus died for us, so that we might have eternal life. John goes on about it regularly in his gospel. And we shall see wonderful things. Yes, we'll see. I'll see my parents, for example, who died as believers in Jesus. I know I will, and many others as well. But we shall see even greater things than that. The glory of God. We'll see Jesus face to face. And we'll experience God's kindness more than we've ever done before. And there won't be any suffering, there won't be any pain, there won't be any sickness, there won't be any death. Fantastic. That's what I'm looking forward to, amongst other things. And the Bible speaks about a new earth. It's not just sort of airy-fairy in heaven, you know, floating about in the heaven, in the clouds somewhere, but it's a new earth, a new creation. And I'm looking forward to that. And we ought to be looking forward to that. And it's part of the message, of course, of Easter Day, of the resurrection. It's a great promise. And so those who, if only, in this life, only we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. So I hope that you have that longer perspective, because Jesus' resurrection proves he's successfully paid the penalty for our sins, because not one of us deserves to go to heaven. I don't. I can dress up like this, I can put my dog collar on, I can preach sermons, I do all sorts of things. I used to hobnob with the rich and the powerful, the archbishops and all the rest of it. I don't any longer, but I used to do that. And so you might think, well, if anybody qualifies, I will. No, I don't qualify, neither do you. None of us qualifies to go to heaven. It's only because Jesus has died for us, if we believe that, that we can actually have this great promise for ourselves. None of us deserves to go to heaven. Nobody ever has deserved to go to heaven other than Jesus. We need to be clear about that one. So a great promise, that's my first GP, my second GP, a great partnership. Paul goes on to say, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? Those who belong to him. If we're trusting in Jesus today, we belong to him. I can remember on the day that England won the World Cup. You see, I do know a bit about sport. We got married in the afternoon instead of watching the World Cup. And it was much more exciting than the World Cup, I tell you, and much more far-reaching as well. And I can remember the thunder that went off during our wedding vows. I wondered quite what that meant, but anyway, we won't bother about that. I remember my wife, for example, promising Anne to obey. I'm still waiting, but there we go. That's a joke, by the way. Don't take it too seriously. But we took one another in the middle of that church just outside Cambridge. We took one another, and we have belonged to one another ever since. And that's a long time ago, a very long time ago, over 50 years ago. And we belong to one another. Not that we're sort of crude possessions, don't mean it in that way, but we belong to one another. And that, I believe, is what Paul is referring to as to what our relationship with Jesus is, if we're trusting in him. We belong to him. And in a real sense, he belongs to us as well. So Patricia and I, we love each other, we trust each other, we never want to be separated. I'm trying to arrange that we'll go on the same day. because we love each other, trust each other, and want to be together permanently. And of course we will ultimately be together. We belong together. And that's what Paul is referring to. And elsewhere the Bible talks about our names being written in heaven if we're trusting in Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? If you're trusting in Jesus this afternoon, there's a book up there with your name in it. I know this is a picture, but it's a very real picture, because it's really speaking of something that is meaningful, that God has got your name in his book because you're trusting in Jesus. And therefore, when you die, whether you expect it or whether you don't, whenever it is, you'll go to be with him because he's got your name. It's your passport into heaven. And the Bible says other things like we're seated with Christ in heaven and so on. Well, we won't go into those this afternoon. And so we can be sure of eternal life by belonging to Christ, just like two people who are married and love one another and trust one another. So do you belong to Christ? Are you sure that you belong to Christ this afternoon? If not, you can become sure this afternoon before you walk out of the door. Belonging to Christ. Just like a very loving married couple, to give you a human illustration. Well, I've loved and trusted Jesus for 10 years longer than I've loved and trusted Patricia. And so for the children who are here, I was 8 years old when I actually first started to trust in Jesus. So just something for you to think about. Don't have to be big and old like me, ancient. You can be very young And you can still put your trust in Jesus. So I don't know who's 8 or over 8. I'm not very good at ages, really. But I was 8 years old. So there you go. So a great promise, a great partnership, and a great presentation, my final GP. Paul says, then the end will come when Jesus hands over the kingdom of God to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. So we're going to be handed over to God by Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? When we get to heaven, he's going to say, this is Tony, this is Patricia, whatever your name is, you know, this is so-and-so. And we're handed over to God when we die, we're trusting in Jesus. And the Bible says that if we belong to Jesus, God wants to be with us. I've been thinking about this recently. How on earth could God want to be with me? I just find that almost unbelievable. And yet the Bible says that. He wants to be with me. And therefore he wants me to be with him for eternity. Incredible. Unbelievable. God wants to make his home with us, says the Bible. And therefore heaven is his home and we'll go and be with him in his home. And God delights in us. Mind you, there are times when he probably doesn't, but overall, he does delight in us because he loves us. The times when he's not so fond of us is when we do things that are wrong. We have to put those right, of course. But as soon as we have, they're wiped out. And he delights in us once more. So I repeat the question this Easter day. Do you belong to Jesus? How do you belong to Jesus? Well, it's a little bit like it was on that Saturday afternoon when Patricia and I stood at the front of that church, a bit like here in this one. We turned to one another and we gave ourselves to each other. We gave ourselves to each other. And that's what being a Christian means. When I was 8 years old, I gave myself to Jesus. And I've stayed with him ever since. And what's more important, he's stayed with me ever since. I gave myself to him. And so why not give yourself, if you haven't, and you're not sure you haven't, why not give yourself to Jesus this afternoon? Imagine you're standing in the front of the church here. He's standing next to you. And you turn to him and you say to him, I want to take you as my Saviour and my Lord for keeps. I give myself to you in gratitude. Let's pray. I'm just going to say a prayer that you can echo silently if you want to about giving yourself to Jesus. So just, if you wish to, repeat these words in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the first Good Friday. Thank you for rising from the dead on the first Easter day. I am so grateful that you died that I might be forgiven. I'm so grateful that you died so I could join you in heaven one day forever. I now give myself to you. I want to follow you. I want to be with you in this life and the next. Lord, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the real meaning of Easter Day. I pray for anyone who's prayed that prayer that they may know they belong to you and might be confident about the future. Might, yes, enjoy this life, but also have the longer perspective of looking forward to the next life, as we often call it, the life with you in heaven forever. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.